Good evening, everyone. I was thinking a few minutes ago, as I was sitting down, I saw Alex Hernandez, and I don't know if he saw me or not, but I told him one more day, because tomorrow we're going to go see the Spurs play, and we're both really big fans, and we're both excited. And I can say that happily, with no one shaking their head in disapproval, because Obed is in here. And if you don't already know, he's a Rockets fan, but don't blame him for that. And I know the last time I was up here, I was a little hoarse because a couple nights prior to me giving the lesson, I had went to a different Spurs game. And the other night when I was watching the game, the announcer said on Tuesday, the 28th, they're playing the New York Knicks. And that's the game that we were going to. But I was like, I thought it was on Thursday. And so I got kind of scared. I was like, well, I guess I'm just going to have to do little golf claps and not cheer. That way I could have my voice for tonight. But the announcer messed up. It's actually tomorrow. So for this evening, I entitled our lesson, Use Your Time Wisely. So tonight's subject is going to be based around time. You know, as this year comes to an end, I wanted all of us to reflect on the year 2022. You know, I'm not going to go around asking anybody to raise their hand or to share anything, but just I want everyone to think of this past year in a nutshell. You know, we can think about what we did, who we saw, things that we learned, what made us happy, things that possibly made us angry, and times we may have been sad. Now, I want us to think about the first day of this past year, January 1st, 2022. You can think about the feeling that you may have had wanting to take on the new year, thinking about what it would have in store for you. Now think about midway through this year. Were things just as optimistic? And what about today? Are you ready to end the year? I only ask because I want us to step back and notice how time has just flown throughout the year. And you know, it usually does pass you by when you don't pay any attention to it. And now, I want to ask you this. Is there at least one thing that you wish you could go back and change or maybe do a little differently within the year 2022? I'm sure there's at least one. But that's the thing about time. You either wish that there were more of it or that you can go back in time. But the thing is that time is always pressing forward. It never looks back, and it's constantly moving. Although we may wish to go back and add something or do something differently, we can't. And I think that's why we create these things known as New Year's resolutions. Since we can't go back in time, we choose to do something differently in the future, for the next year. And we try to be a better version of ourselves, so to speak. When that time comes, are we following through with the promise that we made to ourselves? Are we really wanting to become better? When next year comes, how are we using our time? Are we putting our focus on God? Or are we just only thinking of ourselves? As Christians, we should always strive to please God. Give him the reverence that he deserves from us. That includes giving him our time. If we turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, we'll look at verses 15 through 17. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. And the Bible reads, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So it says we need to walk circumspectly or cautiously, carefully. Not in any risky way that might lead us down the wrong path We must redeem the time and make the best use of it. The verse also says not to be foolish, but rather wise. To be foolish is to waste all of our time and use it for vain or empty reasons. That's the real waste of time. Noticing how precious and how easily it can slip away, and we still choose to not use it wisely. To be wise is to do things according to what God has said and what God wants, and that His will be done. You know, when it comes to our New Year's resolutions, I did a little bit of light research, nothing too deep in context. But I found that about only 43% of people will keep the resolution for a month once the new year begins. And only 10% keep that resolution going strong for more than 3 months. You know, that's not a lot of people. That's a lot of giving up in such a short period of time. Not even the first quarter of the year is underway, and we're already giving up. Why is it that we give up all hope sometimes? Is it because we do not want to put in the work? Or is it because it's not an easy task to accomplish? Or could it be that we realize maybe the idea was too big and we're setting ourselves up for failure? When we think about it as Christians, we should not give up the second adversity hits or we stumble. The automatic response should not be to just give up and stop trying. An example I could think of in the Bible where hope is given up on is when the Israelites give up on waiting for Moses to come back down from Mount Sinai. And we can look at that in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 32. Exodus 32, verse 1. And it says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him." They grew weary. Even though Moses said that he would come back, they still were in their heads, "We don't know what happened to him." And instead, they get the idea to make gods. They grew impatient and they gave up. And though being saved from captivity, from slavery, they still didn't trust that God would provide. They quickly turned around and they wanted to make their own God. They wanted some altar, some symbol to worship. You know, we can be impatient at times as well. If it comes to a New Year's resolution, a lot of people seem to give up so quickly because they aren't seeing the results that they want fast enough. Or they don't want to go through with the hard work after all. They lose focus. They aren't giving it the time and the patience. Just like with anything that you want, there has to be time and work put in. As a Christian, if what we want is to strive to be a better Christian for God, we cannot have that type of mindset. If our goal is for 2023 is to be better, to do more, be more involved with worship, or be more involved with Christ's church, we cannot have that mentality to give up so easily. We cannot fold and seek other self-fulfillment. We have to be resilient, willing to work, and put forth our best effort, Even though sometimes it's out of our own comfort zone, we have to push through and we have to try. Another example that I could think about is prayer. You know, when we pray, we talk to God. And when we ask things of Him, there isn't always an instant yes or an instant no. Sometimes the answer could be wait. That shouldn't dissuade us, though. That should not dissuade us from giving God everything that we can. Just because the answer is no or the answer is wait, we don't go off and seek other ways of attaining what we want. It's not about what we want in the first place. Neither is it about what we think. It's about God's word and what He wants for us. When we also give God our time, we need to be sure that we have our whole heart in it as well. If we turn to the book of Colossians, Colossians 23. Colossians 3, verse 23. We'll read verses 23 through 25. It says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." When we give to the Lord, we need to make sure that we don't just give him our time, but quality time. Our whole heart has to be in it, or that time would have been spent with emptiness. We need not to turn like how the Israelites turned and they wanted some type of physical representation because they were losing hope and they grew weary. Because as it says, "But he that doeth wrong receiveth, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong, and he which he hath done, and there is no respect of person." If we turn to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So as it says, we need not to be ashamed. If we know what we give to God is our very best, then we won't be ashamed and we'll be confident knowing that God is pleased with the work that we do for Him. We are confident when we do our work for God because it is coming from our hearts. It is done in spirit and in truth. So when we gather as a congregation, and we bring worship to our God, our attendance alone isn't what He seeks, but our participation in that worship. Being here by itself is not what God deserves, but being here and actively participating in each act of worship, ensuring that we are partaking of each act in spirit and in truth, is how God wants us to worship Him. We must do it out of love and adoration towards God. That time and effort also extends to outside of worship. When we give God our time, it's not only on Sunday and Wednesday. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Pay attention to that last part. Diligently seek him. You know, diligently doesn't mean once in a while, whenever I feel like it, or with minimal care, minimal effort. It means to do so earnestly, with care, conscientiousness, thoroughly. We are not just a Christian on Sunday. We are not just a Christian on Wednesday. If we are to do as God says, we live daily by his word. We also spread his word. Not just when we meet together as a congregation, but when we go out into the world. We represent God. We want others to be able to recognize that we are Christian, not because we say we are Christian, but they can tell by our actions that we are. Because we live like a Christian every single day. Going back to the point of diligently seeking God, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to read the Bible all day long. Or when the Bible says pray without ceasing, to pray all day long either. But that doesn't mean we put God last. We put him first in our lives. We don't forget about God. Whether the times be good, or whether we be going through trying times, we put him first, and we thank him each and every day. We seek him daily. What we ought to do is we carve out time in our day for God. Just like we carve out time for other activities, for other things, we need to dedicate time for him as well. Dedicate quality time for him. When we are in prayer, do so with all of your heart. When we are studying, limit the distractions. Show him that respect for his word. You know, growing up, my dad would always tell me, you know, you could sit there, no problem, and you can watch TV or you could play that game for hours on end. But when it comes to worshiping God, you can't seem to sit still and or pay attention. And you know, there's truth in that statement. You need to ask yourself, am I really giving God my best? We give time and effort to other things, like I mentioned, and we put all our worries and heart into that, that we forget about who matters most. When we dedicate time for God, through our days, we are giving the right attitude towards him that he seeks from us. Another thing that we need to think about when it comes to time is how we are not promised a specific amount of it. When we are born, we don't come with a little clock that says we'll expire after this amount of time. Only God knows when that time is. If we go to the book of James chapter 4, verse 13. We'll read verses 13 through 15. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow will we go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye not know what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. We're not promised tomorrow. It says our life is but a vapor that's around only for a little bit, to be gone as soon as it arrived. Time is precious, and we don't realize that until it's almost all gone. So if our life is but a vapor that quickly dissipates, why do we live as if time on this earth is an eternity, as if time is our friend? Our life here on this planet is but a blink of an eye. It comes and it goes. Our real eternity follows after we leave this earth. And the way we choose to live that eternity, the way we choose to live throughout the time we had, will determine that eternity that we receive. We must strive for that eternal rest, where time doesn't even exist anymore. It's not even a concept. It's infinite, unending. That's where we need to strive for our eternity to be, with God. I would like to conclude with this last verse in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 3. We'll read verses 1 through 8. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. It reads, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace." There is a season for everything, and a time to every purpose. God sent his only begotten Son to this earth to live and to show the way how we ought to live in this world. And it was his Son who was crucified and died on that cross for the remission of sins, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one may get to the Father but by him. Now is the time to follow the plan of salvation. Jesus shed his blood so that those who obey may have their sins washed away and become part of the body of Christ. If you have yet to become part of that body of Christ, now is the time. Not tomorrow, not next year, but now. You have heard the word of God, and if you believe it to be truth, you must repent and confess Jesus before man and be baptized. Why wait another day? Why put it off? If we've already established that no one is promised tomorrow, why wait another second? Why jeopardize your soul? Or if you are already a Christian, but you find yourself to be slipping or falling short of where you need to be, and you need the encouragement and the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ, now is your time as well. The invitation is set forward as we stand and sing the hymn of invitation.